stanza, Jesus, your name is holy. Enjoy.
Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is light.
Pray with me, Father in heaven. Lord, we are so thankful that you brought us here this morning. And we thank you because we feel your presence here with us. And we know that you will speak to us through your word. For myself, I claim the promise that you give to Moses in Exodus, where you said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou wilt say." Father, put your words in my mouth. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And that it will open our understanding so that we can hear and understand your word. Help us, Lord, not to be just hearers of your word, but help us to be doers and followers of it. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen and amen. All right. I took the liberty to do something special for the fathers, and so I want to show you the little project that I did, and I did it with the help of some of my young people. So I want to praise God for the talent that God has given some of the young people. So this is actually just a short video. It's about 7 minutes. I just want you to take a look at it. It has two parts, and I'll explain in the video what are those two parts. So please, can you turn the lights off after you... So that everybody can see it. Can you guys see it? All right. And then we'll start our sermon. We want to thank all the parents, all the dads. I want to appreciate you personally. It is such a privilege to be able to share with you guys this morning from the Word of God the two most beautiful pictures of our Father. And who is our Father? God is our Father. All right, let's just bow our heads really quick as we begin with the word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you will give us attention and bless us, Lord, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yeah, this weekend is Father's Day, so I'm sorry, ladies. It's not Mother's Day, so I'm going to be speaking to the fellas this morning. Well, this afternoon, actually. And I just want to make us aware, man, of the great responsibility that we have. Now, I am not personally a father. I don't have any children. So I maybe don't have all the authority that I should have. So I cannot tell you what to do. But I want to tell you what the Bible says in regards to fathers. Amen? And more important, we're going to look at two of the most beautiful pictures of examples of God as our Father and what we should kind of mimic, how you should example God in his behavior and stuff like that. So we're gonna study. But in today's society, we notice something that is very common now in today's society is a misunderstanding of the role of a man. You know, we have Men's Magazine and all these things. You know, a man should be somebody who's buff, muscular, has a six-pack, and drinks beer, hangs out with his buddies, and all these things that in reality, they are not qualities that the Bible gives to men. In society, we actually misunderstand this. In society, the role of a father is huge. It impacts the whole world. If you don't believe me, take Abraham for example. All right? Abraham made a mistake. Maybe in his days, he thought it was a small mistake. But in today's society and throughout the age and history, we see that his little mistake impacted the world immensely. Yes or no? Absolutely. We are seeing the results and the consequences of his action, of his distrust in God, in man. That should put in your mind a huge responsibility of how our actions affect our children, how our children are affected, and how they affect society, and how they can affect our decisions, young men and men. How can they affect the world in the future? We need to be very aware of that. And I want to call you to a higher ground, man. Amen? This afternoon, I want to call you to a higher ground, a higher standard that God wants to install in your hearts as fathers. Amen? You know, we have a misrepresentation also of love. And who is love? The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. See, in essence, God is love. But in today's society, we misrepresent God because we misunderstand what love is. Whenever we think of love, people think about it of feelings and emotions and warm fuzzies and butterflies in your stomach and sexuality and all these things. But in reality, that's just an aspect of what love is. I'm not saying that love is not emotions or passion or warm fuzzies. What I'm saying is that love entails more than that. Love is a principle. Love never changes. It is the same. Just like God is the same. Amen? How many of you guys say amen to that? See, the Bible says that God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But because of the misrepresentation of people, the role of a father and the misunderstanding of what love is, we have given the world a misrepresentation of who God is. Unfortunately, because of the society that we have grown in, we have grabbed a lot of things that are not as good. They are not the best ideal for God and humanity. And I want to just read something to you. And this is one of my favorite books. It's called Patriarchs and Prophets. And I want to just read a simple quote, but it's so powerful. It says, are you guys listening? Amen? It says, every manifestation of the creative power of God is an expression of his infinite love. Amen? Which means that everything that we see is an expression of God's love. Are we an expression of God's creativity? Yes or no? Yes, because he created us. Everything that he created is an expression of his infinite love. Now are you beginning to comprehend why people have a misconception of God's character? Because we as humans sometimes misrepresent God's character. And everything happens because of one little problem in our lives called sin. Thank you, Brother Curtis, for bringing that up. Anything that deals with sin will lead us farther away from the ideal that God has for us. And so God has this perfect image this ideal that God wants to put and bestow in our hearts. But society and all these things are misinterpreting and given a misrepresentation of God's character. Many people have an image, a picture of a God who is angry all the time, and he's just waiting upon you to just make one little mistake and boom, he's going to punish you. In reality, the Bible does not speak of a God who does that. Many times we read stories that seem to portray that. But let me tell you, the Bible does not lie when the Bible says that God is love. Amen? So what is love? We're trying to understand what is love. So let's go. Since we're trying to represent God to the fullest of our ability, and we're trying to represent God's love and to give a true picture of who God is, we need to understand what love is. Well, let's go to the Bible. We know that the character of God is love. It never changes. It's always the same. But let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to understand a little bit more of what love is. Everybody knows this chapter as the love chapter. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're just doing the basics here. I'm trying to go as fast as I can. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When you're there, let me hear you say amen. We're going to begin reading with verse 4. But before that, let's just look at what Paul is saying here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a what? A sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What Paul is saying is, see, Paul is a very educated man. He could speak. He probably could speak Latin, and he could speak Aramaic, so he was very educated. So he could speak. And he's saying, though I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm just making noise. Amen? What else does he say? Look at verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy. See, we as Adventists, we claim to have the gift of prophecy. Amen? We understand Daniel and Revelation, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7. We can explain the 2300-day prophecy. But the Bible says that if we do not do this on the principle of love, it profits nothing. And though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, see, even faith. Now, is there anything wrong with faith? Yes or no? No, absolutely not. Paul is saying you can have all these things, but if they're not based upon the principle of love, they are worth nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and Pastor Sam, though I give Bible studies to the kids, though I go and feed the homeless, but I do not do it with the principle of love, is nothing. Love is important. Love is action. Now let's look at this. Love suffers what, everyone? Long. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And the Bible goes on to tell us, love believes all things, hopes all things. Love will never fail. Thank you. I was expecting more amens, but that's okay. That's okay. No problem. I'm excited. You don't have to say amen. Guys, we misunderstand what love is. And this is the character of God. Just put the word God in front of every time the word love appears. God is what? Suffers long. It's kind. God does not envy, does not parade itself. Now let me ask you a question, man. Let's put our name right in front of those things. This is where Christianity becomes real in our lives. See, a lot of times we have the head knowledge. As Christians, we have come time after time. We have heard sermons. We have heard evangelistic series. We have studied the Bible. And we have a head understanding, a head knowledge. But love, true love, it is demonstrated when we act. When we do something, love is demonstrated in action. I like a quote that says that that love is action with his work boots on. It's there. Love outside of action has no meaning. Love is action. Like a song says in Spanish, Jesus is a verb. Jesus is a verb. Jesus is action. Love is action. Now, I want to just share another quote here from you, for the fathers here. It says, the history of the great conflict between good and evil, from its first beginning in heaven to the final overthrown of it at the end of the world when Jesus comes, all of this is in, she says, I don't want to misquote her. It says, the total rejection of sin is also a demonstration of God's unchanging love. Amen? God never changes. He is the same. And everything that has happened is a demonstration of his love for humanity. Now, I want to bring it home here with some practicality. All right? We understand what love is. We understand that we lack love sometimes in our own lives. As men, we are representatives of Christ. We are representatives. See, guys have one of the highest callings in all the Bible. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says, husbands, love your, and your wives means just your family, okay? Love your family, those who surround you, the ones that are closest to you. Love as Christ has loved what? Is that a high calling, man? Yes or no? Absolutely. Can I do it on my own strength, on my own power? Absolutely not. So we are going to see how God does this in our own lives. By the way, in the whole Bible, the only instance where the word character appears from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, okay? The only time the word appears character is found in the book of Hebrews. If you turn there, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to see something here really interesting. We're talking about the two most beautiful pictures of God, and we're going to talk about them here after we read this verse. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. By the way, the whole time I was studying for the sermon, I was studying just the word Father. It's so interesting, everything that it leads you to. But here, it says, God who in various times and in various ways has spoken in the past to our what? To our fathers by the prophets has now, okay? Has now in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heirs of all things, through whom he also has made the worlds. Okay, now I want to just make a very simple point here. In various types, in various ways, God has seen to reveal himself through humanity. He used Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Daniel and all these men in the Bible. Paul and all these men, and they were all good examples. They were all prophets, all men of God. Amen? But they were not perfect images of God, correct? They were men, they were human, just like you and I. But they fell, they committed, for example, Abraham. He committed a mistake, we talked about it, correct? But he was a type of Christ. He was put on this earth to show an image of who God the Father. He's also known as the Father of all nations, okay? The Father of faith. Father Abraham, we even have a song. Father Abraham, how many songs? How many sons of Father Abraham? You're one of them. So are you. And you and you and you. We're all. And so Father Abraham was there to show us an expression of who God was and a little bit of his character. But he was not the character of God. Amen? Why? Because he committed a sin. He lied, correct? He was a liar. God had to work with him in regards to that. Is God a liar? But see, a lot of people commit the mistake by looking at men. They say, oh, that person is a Christian. That person committed a mistake. Then God is the same way. Is that true? No. Oh, we look at someone and we try to relate with them and we say, oh, maybe God is the same way as this person right here. And it's usually men. Because to men has been given the greatest responsibility to be the head of the home. And by that, it doesn't mean that you step on everybody so that you can show your macho gene. Okay? No, that doesn't mean that. All right. Look at verse 3. In being the brightness of his glory, the express image. This is speaking about Jesus. The word character is used right here where it says the express image of his Father. So Jesus was the perfect picture of God's love. Amen? The perfect picture. No other better than him. So if you want to understand God's character, who should you go and study? Jesus. And everything else should be studied through the life of Christ. All the Old Testament shall be studied through the life of Jesus, through the life of Christ, in understanding how can we balance a God in the Old Testament, because a lot of say, oh, the God of the Old Testament is a God of anger, the God of the New Testament is a God of love. No, 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 no. Please understand that the God of the Old Testament is the same loving God of the New Testament. There is no difference. Now, what you have to ask yourself whenever you study stories that are really hard to understand, how can God's love be shown through that, is you have to ask yourself, how can I see God's love, mercy, and compassion in these stories? And really allow God's Holy Spirit with the prayerful spirit to study God's word through the life of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, you're not going to understand everything. And if you don't understand it, you should never doubt God's character. Amen? Now, Jesus came for one purpose. It was to save humanity. But the salvation of humanity is a process. He saves us, and then he needs to what? Sanctify us. He needs to make us clean. He needs to cleanse sin. He needs to purchase from sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates what? So the problem that God has is that he loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. So what he has to do, he has to separate the sin from the, in order to save the, amen. Oh, you guys are a great class. So here's what God wants to do. What he wants to do is that he wants to put his character in us. Because that was the origin. That's how Adam and Eve, they were covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's why they could have face-to-face communion with him. So that's what God is trying to do in our lives. And how does he do that? I want to show you in the two most beautiful pictures of God. Here, let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go really quick just through just these two verses, okay? We're just going to look at these two verses. We're going to go look at another story. Maybe we don't have time to read it, but we're just going to go through it, okay? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. Now, we know the story. Adam and Eve had been forbidden to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, correct? God said, thou shalt not eat of it, because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, correct? Yes or no? Simple instructions. So Eve goes, takes the fruit, offers it to Adam. There they go. Committed sin because they distrusted who God is. They say, you know what? Maybe God was not really telling the truth. Maybe he was lying. So what they did is they disobeyed God. So the results of that is that they were separated from God. But I want you to just look at this beautiful picture. They had just committed sin. They had just forgotten God. They had just completely rebelled against God. What is God's reaction? What is God's reaction, everybody? To what? Thank you, brother. He goes looking for them. Now, if this is not one of the most beautiful pictures of God, when their children are going away, they're completely disobedient. Now, we as humans, what is our... If somebody doesn't listen to us, don't listen to me. That's okay. But God says, he goes after them. Amen? This is one of the most beautiful pictures of the whole Bible. And it is in the very first book of the Bible, and it is compassion to the fullest. Man, if we are lacking something in society today, is this type of spirit, this type of love. And I ask the parents, as I ask the fathers, please, let's ask God to put this type of spirit in our lives. Amen? This type of compassion and this type of love. That doesn't mean that you go and give your son a beer and you say, oh, it's okay, you can drink. No. It means that you still love them, you still have compassion for them, you still want to draw them close to Jesus. That's the most beautiful picture. And the second most beautiful picture that I see in the Bible is found in the book of Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew, okay? So God went and looked for them. He asked them, where are you? He was still looking for a relationship with them. Matthew chapter 20, I believe it's Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 15 to 26. We don't have time to read them. I'm already over time here, but you know the story. Jesus is taken to the court of Pilate. Pilate says, oh man, I'm going to deliver Jesus here. I'm gonna just make it so simple for the people to understand that Jesus is not at fault. I'm going to bring the worst person, the worst man that I can ever imagine, I can ever think of. His name was Barabbas. Here they are. So Pilate comes out and he knows for sure that this is not going to happen. Once they show him Barabbas, it's going to be over. They're going to choose Jesus instead of Barabbas. Because see, the people understood who Barabbas was. Barabbas had been a murderer. Okay. He was stealing from people for his own good. He was not a nice person. Okay. So here he is. And he puts him right next to the perfect Lamb of God. Now, if you would have been there, who would you have chosen? I was expecting a faster answer than that. All right. Because if you're thinking about it, you probably would have gone, Barabbas. Who would you have chosen? Thank you. Thank you. Who would you have chosen? Jesus. You should never have been hesitant about that. Boom. Who I chosen? Jesus. Here they are. And then Pilate asked them a very important question. Who would you choose for me to deliver unto thee? Barabbas or Jesus, whom thou callest what? King of the Jews. You know the story. They chose Barabbas. Right there we see the most beautiful picture of God. Because Jesus could have said, you know what? I'm not dying for these men. They have rejected me. They have chosen sin instead of me. They have chosen Barabbas instead of life. They have made their choice, God. I am not dying for them. And God could have gone back to heaven and he could have all the right in the world to do that. But instead of doing that, Jesus went to the cross. That, my brothers and my sisters, is, to me personally, one of the greatest representations of who God is. The greatest picture, the greatest manifestation, and I hope that you and I, as men, as fathers, can show that type of love. The only way that we are going to be able to do this is found in the book of John chapter 15. And I just want to read this really quick. John chapters, let's start with 17, verse 17, really quick. John 17, verse 17. And the Bible says, are you there? John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy word is. So God says, it is only through the word of God that we are sanctified. Men, how many of us want to be sanctified and become better fathers for our kids, How many of us want to be sanctified? The only way, the Bible says, it is the only way, it is through a personal experience of the Word of God in our lives. Now I want to show you the second way. John 15 and verse 3. Let's read verse 3 and verse 4 and read it with me. John chapter 15 verse 3. The Bible says, you have already been made what? Clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. See, the Bible says that we already made clean. But now, here's another aspect. Look at verse 4. Now Jesus said, abide in what? In me. And I in. As the branches cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you cannot do what? It kind of sounds like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, amen? Without Jesus, we cannot do anything. So as men, we need to have a personal experience. We cannot give something that we do not have. How can we share the love of God when we ourselves do not have it? God says we need to abide in him. Now look at Jesus in this example that he uses. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as the branches is withered, and they gather them and throw them, and they were to burn, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, here, all once again, the connection between the word of God dwelling in us and Jesus Christ dwelling in us. You will ask whatsoever you desire, and it shall be given unto you. Now look at verse 8, by this, by what? By this, my Father is what? Glorified. That you bear much fruit, so you will be as my what? Disciples. So how do we glorify God? How did Jesus glorify God, by the way? By abiding in him. We read in John that he said what? I in my Father, what? We need to allow Christ to put his character, which is the character of the Father, where? In our hearts. And it says that once that love, once that character is in our hearts, the Bible says that we will bear what? Fruits. Is he talking about avocados and peaches and watermelons? Is that what he's talking about? What are the fruits that he's talking about? The fruits of what? What are some of those fruits? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. My brothers and my sisters, these are all good qualities that a father should have, yes or no? Yet at the same time, I see fathers like, get out of here. The reason is because we have not allowed Christ to be part of our lives. Every single day of our lives. I want to finish with this. And it's one of my favorite quotes from the book Steps to Christ. I just want you to listen to it. It's very short. Through the things in nature, okay? And I know Linda was talking about how nature is the second book that God uses to represent his character. That's true, nature. But I want you to listen to this. Through the things in nature, in the deepest and most tenderness and early ties of human hearts can know, these are the ways that God sees to reveal himself to us. What are the closest, the most tenderly relationships that we have here on earth? What are they? What is it called? Family. It is through the family that God reveals his love, his compassion to us and to all humanity. No wonder Ellen White says that our home shall be a model of heaven upon this earth. And that our life here on earth is the beginning of our life in heaven. I praise God for that. And I pray that you fathers will take that in your hearts and that you will begin experiencing God for yourself through his word and through a personal connection with him, so that through that you're able to impact your family and the world in the future. With the parent, with the father stand, I want to make a special prayer for you guys. All the fathers are here. I want to make a special prayer for you guys. Shall we all bow our heads? Father in heaven, Lord, we have as men such a high calling. I pray for the fathers who are standing, Lord. I pray that you will give them the wisdom, give them the understanding, the discernment. Give them your Holy Spirit. Give them a double portion of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that they are able to show the world who you truly are. And in their shortcomings, Lord, I pray that your grace will be sufficient for them. I pray for their families also, that you will bless them. That you will, Father, that you will put in the hearts of all fathers here present a desire to have a communion with you and to truly express God's love to humanity. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen and amen.